Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
It's my pleasure to welcome you to the Clark Howard Show, where our mission is to serve and empower you so you make better financial decisions in your life. I want to talk to you today about a health device that I'm obsessed with. Also, I have an important message for you. If you're one of the 1 in 4 Americans, or 1 in 3, depending on whose stats you believe, who's driving around in a leased car, I should say of those who bought or leased a car in the last few years, it's 1 in 4 or 1 in 3 are in a leased car. There's special things you need to know that are very key to your wallet about that leased vehicle you have. So I'm told that I have a bit of an obsessive personality, and I want you to know that I wear 3 tracking devices at the same time. I have my Garmin fitness tracker, and I've been in the Garmin orbit for almost 11 years. And then I have a Samsung Galaxy Watch 4 that I use for smartwatch features, but is always tracking various health things. And then the one that I'm really, really crazy about is a ring called the Oura Ring. And Chris, if you look inside, you'll see there are 3 computer chips inside the ring tracking what goes...
Oh, it's lightweight. I didn't think it was that lightweight.
Oh, you'd think it would be heavy. And you're supposed to wear it on
this finger,
your
right
index finger, but I wear it as my wedding band, which means my measurements are not completely as accurate as they'd be if I wore it on the index finger, but it gets the job done. And I replace my $10 wedding band with the Oura Ring.
Is that the newer one?
I'm waiting for my newer one. I've already ordered it. The Oura 3rd generation is available for order right now. They're very expensive. This is like outside the Clark zone, but it's how much I'm into fitness. And I bought this ring for the oddest reason, and I've told this story before on the show, but they discovered completely by accident in the early days of COVID in March of last year that the Oura Ring could give you early warning that you had COVID. And that became a story in the United States because the NBA was able to play that cocoon season they did in Orlando by putting Oura Rings on all the players, trainers, coaches, family members, league officials. Everybody wore them, and they were able to prevent any widespread outbreaks and get the season played. They didn't call it the cocoon, bubble, whatever they called that in Orlando. And it was really a remarkable feat when other leagues and other sports were having to cancel games, postpone games, forfeit games, all that because of outbreaks that happened with COVID. So that was originally why I got it. And now I'm like, I can't imagine not having an Oura. And I'm really excited about the new one because Oura has made a major change in my life in one particular area. I was never a good sleeper. I never really got what I felt like was real rest. And Aura, one of the things it does is it coaches you to be more fit, coaches you to be in better general health, and focuses on how to improve your sleep. And by tracking me around the clock, and I've got the Aura, O-U-R-A, is how you spell it. I have the Aura app on my phone, and I see my scores every day. So
I do want to say something because you're so enthusiastic about this. You don't endorse anything, and this definitely not a pain endorsement.
This is not. This is, I don't FYI. Take money from anybody. I am unbought and unbossed. But like today, my readiness score is okay. 70 is a passing score, but my readiness is 79. My sleep last night was a 72. Not very good. Day before, my readiness was an 87. See, I got a crown. If you get 85 or above, it means you're like a stud.
Oh, man, I like that.
And then my sleep score was an 84. My activity score was an 83. Day before that, readiness 81, no crown. Sleep, though, 87 with a crown. Activity score 75. I worked out too much. It gets really mad at you. You know, that's the funny thing. Garmin, no matter how much you work out, Garmin says, do more, do more, do more.
That annoys me. If I hit like 20,000 steps and it's like, start moving later on,
they want you to
be
a really good-looking corpse is what Garmin wants you to do. Where Aura wants you to hit the right thing with how fit you are, how overall healthy you are, and how well you do sleeping. And my sleeping scores over the last 20 months have not all at once, but they generally have gotten better and better and better, where when I first started wearing it, my sleep scores were usually in the 50s or 60s, terrible. And now I average around an 80 sleep score because it modified my behavior. It just pounds it into you. Do this, do that, do this differently. And it has made a real difference. And so the Aura, what I find with something like the Aura, just like with a Fitbit or a Garmin or the Apple Watch or whatever, people either really connect to it and get to where psychologically they got to have it, or they just find it's a nag and a nuisance and they stop wearing it. I mean, think about how many Apple Watches Apple has sold that are gathering dust in drawers now. And how many Fitbits, especially because that was a corporate push to get the Fitbits, and the company thought it was a good idea for you to wear a Fitbit, and people were like, yeah, great, thanks, I'm not doing this. The Garmin tends to have good stickiness because the people who buy a Garmin are buying it because they're already of a mind to work out. But the Aura is really a whole different thing because, again, it's not trying to make you a competitive athlete. It's trying to make you healthier. And very expensive purchase, $299. And then, because I've been Aura wearer for a long time, I don't have to pay the ongoing software fees. But people have to pay some kind of cost per month. It's like $6 a month.
Seven, maybe. I saw it. I was looking at it because you got me interested.
In order to have all the tracking. But when I think about what it's done for me, because you only get out of it what you put into it. But it's made a big difference for me. And if you've got particularly a guy in your household who's impossible to buy for, because guys are impossible to buy for, would you say your husband's impossible to buy for?
Not totally, because I know the stuff that he likes.
Oh, see, my family says I'm...
You are impossible.
I'm impossible to buy for. Anyway, oh, here's the membership. Yes, $5.99 a month, $6 a month. So
6 months free, and then $6.
Well, which 6 months is enough that if you think this is the most idiotic thing ever...
Resell it.
Yeah, because there's an active market reselling Aura rings from people who are like, this was a bad idea. I can just tell you, for me, I've seen, and I'm very motivated about my health because I'm old with young kids. and I want to be around for them and my wife as well. And so I want to see if I can outkick the lifespan that men in my family tree have typically lived. And so I'm really motivated to do these things. And, you know, I've got the pre-existings. It's no secret that I have prostate cancer. I've got a heart defect. I'm basically a factory second walking around.
No, you are overall a very healthy person. Thank goodness.
For somebody with a heart defect.
Well, because you've watched your cancer, and you know it's not a fast moving or aggressive one, and you've done everything
you can. I was really lucky with that.
Thank goodness. We all need you. Yeah, long time.
So anyway, I think we should bookend that with, I don't take money from anybody.
No,
so
no.
When you hear me talk about any product or service, I am unbought and unbossed. And I'm always scary to any company because I might say something nice about them this day and say something ugly about them the next day, with the only exception being that criminal enterprise impersonating a bank, Wells Fargo. I mean, they stay in the doghouse with me. Oh, got to tell a funny story about that.
Okay.
So I'm in Navy Federal Credit Union, and the teller I was talking to said, I don't know what he said, but I said, oh, what big bad bank did you work for before you found the wisdom to work for a credit union? And it was like this hush came over the lobby, and he said, Wells Fargo. And I said, I am so sorry. It must feel great to not have to take a shower every day.
Oh. All right.
Wells Fargo eventually will get it together. I don't know when that'll be. They'll eventually get it together.
All right, let's get to some questions. Diana in Hawaii says, in 2007, I purchased a timeshare. My daughter claims that the presentation differed from the contract. I then noticed that the contract did not contain the name or signature of the sales representative. I still have the timeshare, but I no longer trust the company, and I'm not sure what to do.
We were having such a light conversation.
I'm sorry, I know.
And now you're Debbie Downer taking us into...
I'm sorry.
The timeshare thing. Diana, I am so sorry. You've had this thing almost 15 years. I hope you've been using it as much as you can. Timeshares stick to you like glue, and they are not easily disposed of. You may have an advantage with this timeshare. I don't know if the timeshare is in Hawaii where you live or if it's on the mainland, but there may be some market for you to be able to get rid of it. You usually have to pay somebody to take over your timeshare. The fact that the contract didn't have the signature of the sales representative is only significant if it had no other signatures for the sellers. And if it did not, if it was not properly executed, you could go see a real estate lawyer and see if you have any possibility of making the contract voidable for that timeshare. But they are very, very difficult to dump. One website I like you to look at is Vacatia, where you may be able to generate income from renting out your week, or you may even find a market available to sell it. And to see what's going on with your particular timeshare property, go to the timeshare users group, which is the way you get there is TUG, T-U-G, the number 2.net. And that is a good resource potentially for you to find out what the bad news is, being able to get rid of that timeshare week.
And Vacatia is vacatia.com.
Thank you. I should have said that, particularly with my very poor diction. Nobody would know how to find it.
The great news, Diana lives in Hawaii.
That right. is great news.
Okay. This one's from Matt in Virginia. Using a law firm 3 years ago, I created a last will and testament. I would like to make a few name and address updates. If I have a digital version of the file, can I make the updates in the digital version, print it out myself, and sign with two witnesses? Or do I need to go back to the law firm to make the updates?
So, Matt, I don't know if in Virginia, I'm not a lawyer, I don't know if it's legal in Virginia for you to take the will prepared by a lawyer and modify it yourself. And I don't know if it's been 3 years ago and you have situations that have changed that you want to make updates. I would prefer that you go back to the lawyer or start fresh with the changes you need to make. A lot of times lawyers treat wills as a loss leader to get future business from you for other things. And so the changes you need to make, if they're pretty small updates, it may not be an expensive thing to use the lawyer. And I would prefer, since you were willing to spend the money 3 years ago, spend the smaller amount of money to get that will updated by the lawyer. And I know that's a very wimpy kind of answer from me, but I don't want you to go from full serve to self-serve and do something that could have bad implications for you later for those you wish to inherit.
From Carrie in Oklahoma, is it safe to deposit large amounts of cash into the SoFi money accounts or the Robinhood money accounts in order to have to access the larger interest rates that they pay? Amounts like $10,000 and above. And then they put the interest rates as of the day the question came in. It was 0.25% from SoFi and Robinhood 0.3%.
Carrie, it's absolutely safe to put money into a savings account with any organization as long as it is FDIC insured or NCUA insured. And to my knowledge, both of these are FDIC insured. You want to verify that first, which you can do at FDIC.gov. There's something where you can make sure that both the SoFi and the Robinhood accounts are properly FDIC insured. They also, well, those are such well-known entities that they will disclose to you when you go to open an account if they are, in fact, FDIC insured as well. And got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know drive a lease car? Well, there's key information you got to know that could score extra money in your pocket. This is a time that I say advice I give generally is usually true, but there are times that are big exceptions. And we are in one of those right now in the most distorted vehicle market in the United States since immediately after World War II. We have significant shortages of new vehicles available to sell because of the chip shortage, and used vehicles available to buy because of distortions in the market that happen from the car rental agencies and people who can't find new cars buying used. The result, the value of used cars has gone way, way, way up. Softened just a little bit recently, but still way higher than normal. So when you lease a car, when you buy a new car, instead of buying it, you do a lease. In that lease, most leases, there are exceptions, but most come with a residual value in them. It is a contractual amount that you can purchase the vehicle from the leasing company at the end of the lease. And those residual values are set based on an industry formula. Or sometimes with luxury brands, they make up a higher value for that residual because they want to make the lease payments more affordable. It's a way they subsidize the price of the vehicle without doing an official price cut. But right now, with almost no exceptions, a vehicle coming up on the end of its lease is going to be worth substantially more than what your residual value is you have to pay. And we had someone recently who posted, it was really a comment, not a question, that they had heard me talk about this last summer, and they bought their vehicle at the end of the lease, and they made a $5,000 profit. And this is not unusual right now. because the used vehicle values being as inflated as they are, compared to the residual in your lease, even if you don't want to keep the vehicle at the end of your lease, you want to buy it if there's a big spread between that residual and what it's worth trade-in value to a dealer, to Carvana, to CarMax, to Vroom, to anybody who buys vehicles without you having to buy one from them. And what's cool is you can go on Carvana, and in many cases CarMax, and you can get an offer on your vehicle that's good for 7 days, and you get a feel for where the marketplace is versus that residual in your lease. If you like the vehicle you've leased, then you're getting a real score if you can buy it for the residual that now has it valued at a much lower price than the market price on the vehicle. And I want to repeat, nothing like this has ever happened in the history of vehicle leasing. And it may not ever happen again. But the 2019 lease cycle has led to, 2018 did, 2019 will, and 22 lead to this real opportunity for you to score one of those two ways. So don't just turn your lease vehicle back in. Another gotcha, be aware you may get a phone call, a letter, an email, even a text from the dealer you did the lease with originally or the financing company, bank, whoever, offering to allow you out of your lease early. And they're doing it not to do you a favor, but to get that inventory to then be able to turn around and they make the money on it. Now, it's fine for everybody to want to make money in this world, but they're not telling you the whole story that I just shared with you, how much money you're sitting on there, that lease vehicle could be like nice little savings account for you. Krista?
This is from Debbie in Georgia, and it's about a lease. We got a loan at the end of our lease with the manufacturer in October of 2018 with our credit union. I noticed sometime later a fee of $29 a month for a late title fee. I called the credit union, and they said it was my obligation to get them the title. The manufacturer said they tried to send it. I found out today it was not sent. They've added $29 a month plus loan interest for 3 years. I can't get either party to resolve what is their responsibility and what's my recourse.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kia was who you did the lease with originally. Kia is the one that never got the title to the credit union. The credit union is not acting like they're supposed to, which is, you are an owner of that credit union. You are a member of it. They're acting like a big bad bank, telling you, hey, you're just out over $1,000 over a delayed receipt of a title. Debbie, on you is your responsibility to look at your statement every month and to have discovered this much earlier. And that's obvious. And I'm not trying to beat you up on that. I just want to mention that, how important that is for other people. The best way to resolve this is get the branch manager at your credit union, make an appointment with him or her, get them on the phone with somebody from Kia. If you need help with that, go back to the Kia dealer where you originally leased the vehicle, and you want the general manager of that dealership to help you get this resolved with somebody at Kia and work this out. You should not be the one left with the short straw here. And this, not this scenario, but the problem with a bill that goes unseen month after month, in many cases for years, we hear all the time. A lot of times it's because people get e-statements instead of paper statements now. And it's really important to check your statements each and every month so you don't miss something. And then you're fighting from behind to get back $1,000.
From Dave in Kentucky, I froze my credit with all three credit bureaus. My question is, if a fraudster tries to open an account but it gets declined, does that count as a hard inquiry on your credit even though they're frozen?
Dave, what a thoughtful and great question. And no, because what happens is when the lender, let's say credit card company, bank, whatever, tries to make an inquiry against your credit, it bounces back because your credit's frozen. So it's as if no loan app ever happened and no inquiry against your credit ever occurred.
From Jeff in Wisconsin, T. Rowe Price used to be boasted on your show as one of your favorite investment houses. However, in recent times, I have not heard you ever mention them. Are they still one of your favorites, or have they fallen off your list? And if so, why?
T. Rowe Price is a fantastic company. They are a great organization. And the problem is their investing style has fallen out of favor. And in order to run their funds like they do, it requires a big management structure, a big investing team structure. And so the costs of investing with T. Rowe Price are much higher than with the companies that I refer to as my favorite children. So T. Rowe Price is a great company. They're really good people. They're just not cost competitive in the marketplace now, in my opinion. And so that's why you don't hear me talk about them anymore. You never hear me say something bad about them because they're great people. But they're not in the position in the marketplace that I focus on, which is having the lowest possible investment costs you can have.
And from Alvin in Colorado, are any of these promotions honestly working as an advertise that come in your email offering big bucks like tens of thousands of dollars for 30 minutes a day working from home, or are they mostly fraudulent?
Alvin, they are either total cons or they're just sleazy. No, you're not going to. You mentioned getting these in emails. I see them at freeway exits where people post those signs illegally at freeway exits, you know, earn $600 a day in your spare time and all that stuff. It's all a crummy come on. Ignore all of them. There's no such thing. And wouldn't it be great if life was that easy? It's not. And so any of those emails come, don't even open them. Just delete them based on the headline. And I want to tell you how much we both appreciate you trusting us to share part of your day with us on the podcast. And I hope that, I mean, I can't do it every time because you have different interests and stuff, but I hope that as many times as possible, you get information out of this or encouragement out of this or something that you can act on from the podcast that helps you improve your life.